Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barman. With me is Molly Piercy. Molly finished fourth place in our transformation contest. And if you haven't seen her picks, you should bounce. If you're listening on iTunes, bounce over to the blog and check out her picks on the blog. So I guess we just were chatting about how you started the contest. We might as well take off on that. Or do you want to do maybe give people a bit of your background first, as with respect to diet and training, fitness, that
Yeah,
stuff.
definitely.
Where have your travels taken you on that before us?
Just like everyone, it's been a long journey, I guess you could say. Probably started back for me. I was always like very athletic growing up. I played college tennis, and I never really had a problem with diet or exercise before. I think just because my diet was always really regimented, being in college and an athlete, and after that, it just all kind of fell apart slowly, and I didn't know why, because I kept working out what I thought was the same degree and started to gain a lot of weight, and I didn't understand what was going on. And then I went to my doctor because it was that big of a concern for me, and she diagnosed me at the time, I think I was 22, with polycystic ovary syndrome. I didn't really think about, what that really meant. Should I take this drug? You have to worry about it later, or if you want to have kids, this is going to be something down the line. So I just kind of brushed it off to the side, like, oh, I don't want to have kids, but I didn't really understand the biochemistry of that and what that meant for my hormones and weight loss and everything. So about, I would say, 2 years ago, I went to a fitness conference in Tampa just for fun. It wasn't anything special, and I heard a doctor by the name of Dr. Walsh talk about hormones and the impact of weight loss and everything. So he started talking, and something inside of me clicked. I'm like, this is my problem. I didn't address it, 8 years ago when I should have. And then I just started doing tons and tons. I basically quit my job, and for 6 months, I just researched everything about nutrition, diet, exercise. And during that time, I actually called Brad Pilon and did like a little phone interview because I had found his book. I wanted to know like a little bit more about it. And that's really what led me to Venus eventually, because I got on his email list, and then I started following Adonis, and then Venus came out, and I was really excited about that. So that's kind of how I got where I am right now.
When you talked to Brad and found Eat Stop Eat, did you actually adopt fasting, or did you just read it and chat with him?
Well, I had read it first, and then I had tried it, and I was having trouble with it. So I was like, I'm going to find this guy. And I sent him email, friended him on Facebook, found him eventually. And then when he broke it down for me, for some reason, when I talked to him and got a little bit more, I guess, background and everything, I'm like, I'm really going to try this again. So I did try it. I gave everything. I tried so many things. I gave it a month of trying it, where I would fast once a week for 24 hours for four weeks. I did that for, and I didn't. It was great for me, but at the time, it was really hard for me because, I mean, I work out a lot, and I just don't think I was like mentally ready for it. I was just doing it to do it to see what would happen. And then this time around, I did implement Eat Stop Eat, and probably 6 weeks and on, the last 6 weeks of the contest. And I think it was so much easier this time for me. First, I could only get through 15 hours, then 20. Then by the last 3 weeks, I was doing it twice a week, and I was able to get to the full 24 hours. So, yeah, so I did do that for the Venus contest.
So it was just a progression getting used to it. And you think it was all mental?
I know it was mental, yeah. It was definitely mental, because I would be watching. I was trying to get so many hints on the forum, like, how are these girls doing this, And then one girl had mentioned, well, if I just know I'm not eating all day long, 36-hour fast, try that. And I just couldn't mentally get through that. And I'm usually such a mental, tough person, but I couldn't get beyond just the 20-hour mark, and I was just, like, dying to eat something. So, but, like, as I trained myself, I was able to get a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further, and I actually am doing it today, and I haven't even thought about it once. So I think now after you practice something like that, it's really, you get stronger every time because you know what to expect, know what's coming, and I found that that helped for me instead of just diving and going for, like, a huge 24-hour fast.
Right. And then you never tried to push it further, like 24 hours plenty for you?
Yeah, that's worked. I've never really gone beyond that.
Yeah, it's not written in the book. I just know some people have tried it, so I just wanted to see if you'd even bother trying it.
Yeah, I mean, I think trying it could be good. One of the questions that I asked Brad a while back, you know, if it was beneficial to go longer, and he did say that, you know, everyone's different, but the effects, told me on the eat stuff, eat, you know, 24 hours is usually like what, you know, how it's going to work well for you. So I kind of had that in the back of my mind. I'm like, just get to 24 hours and then you're going to reap the benefits of it. So that's where I kind of stood with that.
Yeah.
And of course,
go ahead.
Sorry. Same like with everyone else, you know, the biggest problem with that is being around everyone and not eating, and everyone looking at you like you're a crazy person, and thinking that I'm starving myself, but meanwhile, you know, it wasn't that at all. Just,
did you have problems with that?
Yeah, I did. My circle of friends is, you know, we're always doing something, always, like, going out, going to the beach, going on trips, and when somebody doesn't eat, it's going to be blatantly, you're going to know it. Pretty much, I'd say I'm doing something 5-7 nights a week, so it was very hard because I get so many questions all the time. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know, you're going to slow down your metabolism, and, you know, I just kind of just took everything in stride and never really tried to push anything on anyone else. So that was hard for me.
Did
everyone else.
Now, was it like mass pushback, or did you at least have some people who kind of supported you, or was like, what did they think when they saw your pictures?
They were very impressed. A lot of my friends were quite impressed with my pictures, and I didn't publicize it too much that I was, you know, trying this contest unless I was with like a group of my really close girlfriends, and like we were out to dinner, and you know, I wasn't eating sushi and I wasn't eating dessert. You know, I would tell them. But, I mean, now when it was all said and done 12 weeks later, you know, I have a lot of more people asking me about it, about the contest and everything. So I think, you know, I would – it's something that, you know, they have to read and go through. And I think that if you had the form and there's all those questions on there that people ask, every question that I had was asked in some form or fashion, and it just – you know, that really helped me throughout the contest, reading in on all of those.
So you kind of knew what to expect along the way, even with other people kind of in your friend circle that might be not necessarily totally supportive. People already run into it.
Yeah, I'd say that. And, you know, some people have asked me, you know, more about the concept of Eat Stop Eat, and you know, they want me to help them in the gym with VI workouts, and you know, I'm more than happy to do that. But I think to be successful with the VI, you have to do at least try or do everything. You know, the workouts are one thing, the diets are another thing, the perseverance is a whole nother thing, like the mental game that I talked about a little bit earlier, just like being mentally strong to have success. The success that I think that it shows that the winners had. So just, it was really fun for me. And then the last 3 weeks, I got really, really serious with it. So I feel like I mentioned this in my essay. I weighed myself in the beginning and I never got on the scale again until the end, because the first 2 weeks I was getting on the scale. And then I was just obsessed with the number on the scale. I'm like, this is crazy. I cannot live the next 12 weeks like this. I get up, oh, my gosh, gained a pound. I lost a pound, back and forth. But I fasted. I don't understand, you know. And so I said, forget about it. I put the scale away. I never got on the scale again. So when I got the final pictures in the end, I wasn't sure if I had that big of a transformation because I didn't even look at my beginning pictures until the very end, too. So I guess, like, you can, like, I played the game in my head, like, set myself up so I wasn't, like, stressing about everything all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty, I don't know, that's pretty important. Like, if you know you're going to outwit yourself by constantly measuring and, you like you said, like, it's almost like you're directing yourself, right? So if you know the scale's just going to set you off, just get rid of the scale. I just talked to one of the guys, same deal. He just didn't weigh himself at all because he's like, I don't care what the scale says because it's just going to mess with his head.
Yeah, I have the same attitude. I'm doing everything that I can possibly do right now. There isn't anything else that I can do in my power that it's going to make me better. So why am I going to keep stressing over this?
Yeah, and if removing that one measurement helps you get through it, then just get rid of the measurement, like the daily weigh-in.
Yeah, I did that, and I didn't even measure myself throughout. And it was so funny because I had the tape measure right by my sink every day, and I would look at it. And I don't know why I never moved it. And I just never did. And but right above the tape measure, I had a little sign above there. And because I knew I looked in the mirror every morning, how my goal weight and my goal measurements right underneath. So every single morning, I get up and I look at that, and I look down at that tape measure, and then I walk up. I was always like, maybe tomorrow I'll measure. And I just never did.
That's not a bad thing. I talked to a couple of people who coach who do this sort of stuff, and we all agree that weight loss isn't linear. The changes aren't linear. Some weeks just a bunch of stuff happens, and other weeks sort of nothing happens. And it's you can't worry about it even on a week to week basis because you just like you said, some days you might be up a pound, and who knows what it is, water, whatever. But it makes you feel crappy when it happens. So if you just don't know about it and you know you're having forward days, then you just keep rolling with them.
Yeah. And then as far as the counting of the calories, I started that. I kind of tried everything that everyone else from reading everyone's past stories that they did. So I'm like, okay, they did really well because they did this. So then I tried to do that. And then you know, that's like the thing with the scale. Like I saw people like weighing it. Oh my gosh, I'm down a pound, I'm up a pound. So I want to do that. And then I tried to start a calendar of keeping track of all my workouts and everything because I think I listened that Caroline did that. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, well, that worked for her. I'm going to try that. You know, that didn't work for me. And then what also didn't work for me was counting the calories because I started counting them and then you know, I'd be, like, disappointed if I went over just, like, the scale. So I just said, you know what, I'm not going to count anymore. I have an idea of what is around. For me, I was doing about 1,400 calories a day, which was a cutback, but I worked out a lot. I play a lot of tennis. I'm constantly kayaking, riding bikes. So I was already doing all of that. And then adding DI on top of that, I knew that because I just wasn't only doing VI, I couldn't keep my calories under $1,000 or $1,000 under 1,000 and be able to function.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep mine probably, I'm going to guess, from like 12 to 1,600.
And then did you just get used to what it felt like? Could you kind of tell if you were in a forward day, if like you sort of knew that by the end of the day you were in a deficit?
Yeah, I knew based on what I ate. You know, I wasn't specific, but and then like how much I worked out. So, I know an egg has 70 calories in it, and I know if I eat 3 eggs in the morning, you know, I'm around 210 with fruit. You know, I'm at like 300.
Yeah.
I basically had a ballpark, so it wasn't that I was recording them and monitoring them, but when you watch your food so much and you constantly have been doing that pretty much your whole life, you have an idea of where what's where. So
yeah, it becomes like almost automatic without counting. You're like, yeah, that was about 400. Yeah, that was about 300. And you just kind of know.
Yeah, I just like try to keep my meals at like, you know, 500. You know, I try not to really go over probably 500 unless I knew I was going out for like a big dinner and just load up on vegetables for lunch.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, then based on that, did you go like? I mean, it sounds like you have a pretty active social life. So were you? And you said you were. I mean, obviously, there's always food involved. Did you bank calories for bigger meal time, or you know what I mean? Like go light during the week, heavy on the weekends, or did you do any of that sort of stuff?
I probably, how I did it is I kind of planned my week a little bit ahead of time, knowing what was going on, and if there was like a big party or something, I would plan on always trying to get through my fast the next day after, and then the day before, or the day of, where I would be eating, just try to eat lighter, just a little bit less than what I had been. So, yeah, I guess you could say, you know, I just kind of planned around what was going on. I traveled a lot for work, so I know that there was 1 month, actually like a 6 week span, that I was gone Thursday through Sunday, 5 out of 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that was hard, because not a lot of times did I feel safe going to the gym where I was staying, or just, but it was very, very hard. And as far as like getting food, everything was eating out. None of those were driving distance. If I would drive, you know, I could obviously pack ahead of time, but a lot of times I didn't have a car where I was. And it was, that part was, I think that was like kind of in the middle of the contest. That was probably my hardest 6 weeks. I was constantly gone. And then I would just do the best that I could.
Well, that's tough. That's tough having that smack right in the middle of a contest. That I can see how that would make it even harder. Well, that's just tough. I mean, were you with people who were always wanting to drag you out to eat?
I mean, everywhere I would go, I didn't really know anyone in the town, so there would be like colleagues and workers there, and everything. There really was just places to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go out to eat. There wasn't a choice. You know, one day I could fast or do my best to fast, like breakfast, lunch. But, you know, because I was working all day and on my feet, I just tried to do the best I could, vegetables and meats, and it was rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no other way of saying it. It just goes to show you how.
I got through it. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I didn't gain weight, so.
Sure. It just shows you how limited the choices are, eh?
Oh my gosh, it's horrible. And I would just, and throughout the whole 12 weeks too, I told myself I wasn't going to do anything that was processed food. So that made it really hard. So I didn't eat anything that was like low fat, light, nothing. I tried to stick the whole way through to just like whole single ingredient foods the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good strategy.
Yeah. So I knew that if I did that, because I wasn't counting calories to the tea, that everything should, you know, everything that I was putting in should break down in my body. That was my mentality. So, you know, when I'm in the airport for like the 20th time, I can always get like fruit. So
instead of a Cinnabon.
No. Yeah, I would never go there. But, yeah, so... That kind of helped me get through. You know, I wouldn't even grab nuts in a bag because unless it was like a raw nut or something like that, I stayed pretty strict on that.
Now you said you really tightened up or really took things seriously in the last few weeks. What talk about that?
Okay, so I knew this is like competition too because a friend of mine had entered him at the same time, and it's a friend that lived in my town. So we saw each other in the gym. And I really wanted to do, you know, well. And she was really serious. Every time I'd see her, you know, she was looking thinner and thinner and thinner. And then I had run into her, I think, like, for 4 weeks to go, and she was looking great. So I'm like, I have got to get so super serious. So I did my workouts, you know, like I always did. And then I started doing interval cardio after every single time I get through my workouts. The last 3 weeks, I added I'd say I do 24 minutes, a minute on, a minute off, hard interval cardio on like the treadmill, the Stairmaster, the rowing machine after every workout. And then I added only proteins, vegetables for the last 2 weeks. I only ate fruit in the morning, mm-hmm. and I added the protein in the raw, which is like a Garden of Life protein shake, mm-hmm. the last 2 weeks, because that helped me with my appetite, and it was very, like, I knew it was low-calorie, high-protein, and I was trying to, like, lean myself out as much as I could, you know, right before the pictures.
Right.
So...
So did you notice pretty significant changes in the last, those last, yeah?
I did, yes. I was drinking lots and lots and lots of water, and then I wasn't drinking anything else but water. I wasn't even, before I would like, drink unsweet tea, water sweetened with stevia and lemon, like all kinds of every healthy thing I could think of, but I only drank water the last 3 weeks, and I drank a ton of it. So I don't know... water's like real effects on, but I think it helped too.
Do you think me and Brad Pelon were thinking about that because we tried a little water load. Do you think it might help for no other reason than all of that drinking sort of takes the place of a bit of eating? Like you don't even feel like eating when you're just constantly drinking?
I don't know. Maybe because I was drinking. Like, I was majorly water loading, and I will say that I didn't drink water at all the day before my pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of tried, like, a modified version of the water depletion, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it does fill you up, but it never really, like, gave me, like, a sense of fullness.
But no, I don't even mean fullness. I just mean it's just such a hassle that it's sort of... you forget about eating. I don't know.
Yeah.
That seemed to be one of the things that I thought it might do.
I can definitely see that. You just don't eat as much just because you're drinking water all the time. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Between the actual drinking and then going to the bathroom, it's like it's almost like you don't know where to fit in the actual eating.
Exactly. It's like so much time between all of that. Yeah, it's so true. I'd be like getting up and going to the bathroom all the time, but I didn't mind. I thought, you know, as soon as something becomes really hard for me, because I love, like, challenging myself, the harder it is, the crazy thing for me is, like, wow, the more effective this is going to be because this is hard and I'm making this as hard as it can be. And I just feel really, really good when I'm in a place like that because I just feel, like, empowered and I can do this. And once I start something, I just feel great.
Those last couple weeks where you kind of really pared things back to like just fruit in the mornings and then vegetables and this raw like lean protein sources, how long do you think you could sustain that for? Like that's obviously pretty strict.
You know, that is such a good question, and I would love to be able to sustain that. And maybe I'll try that next contest, just start off like that and see how long I can go just to kind of challenge myself. Because I really didn't feel like there was anything unhealthy about doing that, because when I still ate a lot, you know, I still ate probably half pound of chicken for dinner, and I would still eat 3 to 4 eggs in the morning, so it wasn't like I was necessarily cutting my calories, I was just cutting the type of calories mm-hmm. that I was putting into my body. I would love to go, I'll tell you what, after the contest, I took a week off, and it felt great, so now I know with that, like not constantly feeling strict feels like. I think I might start off the second contest just maybe super strict and try to see what happens just to test it out.
That's interesting.
It was a gradual approach, though, to get to that last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You kind of, I mean, once you were already in the mode of sort of, you were in contest mode, it's not as shocking to try to step it up a little bit versus just out of the blue, jumping all the way to something that seems quite strict.
Yeah, and I really wanted to win so bad. Like, I just wanted it. And I think that was another thing, too, just, like, pushing me the last 3 weeks mentally. And during those last 3 weeks, too, I had 7 people staying at my house for 1 week. I had My family came in to town and was staying at a beach house my second to last week. And then the week before, my pictures, a girlfriend and her husband came and stayed with us for the weekend, and it was just like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst timing. So, but I mean, like I said, it was challenging for me, and I was just happy I got through it, and I felt good, like I'm doing this. So I'm excited for round two.
So is that, okay, so then I get, was all the social interaction the big challenge? Like, what was the big challenge for the whole thing?
Definitely. All of the social interaction, I would say. Because I don't know, I live at the beach, so summer is crazy. All of my high school friends, college friends, family, everyone is constantly coming down here and visiting. And all my friends have boats and out on the boat, and we're, you know, at night. And that was so hard. That was the hardest part. And everyone knows that I'm a generally healthy eater, but, you know, the last month I didn't have, well, definitely the last 3 weeks I didn't have any alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, everyone's, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? No, no, I'm just trying something. That's what I always do. Because I tried, like, I would test things all the time. Like, I tried to vegan for a month, but I tried paleo for a month. I have been trying things forever, just seeing what works for my body and what hasn't. And honestly, those last 3 weeks were incredible. That was the fastest time that I have, I feel like I kind of turned my body around really fast.
So would you try that again then, obviously?
Yes, 100%, for sure. Yeah. I know that works.
Right, right. So I guess like we just said, you might just, the next time you're going to just go right to that right off the bat and then just see how long you can handle it.
Yeah, I guess that would be a great challenge for me.
Well, it makes sense if that's what worked and you could handle it. It's all about sustainability. If you can handle it for, that's why I asked, like if it felt like, okay, you gutted it out for 3 weeks, but no more. But if you feel like it's sustainable, then there's no reason to not do it for extended periods of time.
Yeah, I was never hungry. I wasn't ever, like, starving. I was never like, oh, my gosh, when's my next meal, like, during those last 3 weeks? Like I said, I ate a lot of calories. I was eating a lot. I was working out. You know, I was doing the VI, and then I was doing the interval cardio. And especially those last 3 weeks, I made sure that I did something, second something. Every night, whether it was, like, riding my bike, just playing tennis, doing something, going on a walk, something like that. And definitely I did something on my off day, too. So I was really pushing
Did you feel you had, like, a limited amount of energy for high-intensity stuff versus low?
Definitely. High intensity, it was a lot harder. Like, I could only do intervals for, like I said, 24 minutes, and I was dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't even move. And then I would do, like, a spinning class, but, you know, that only needs to be as hard as you need it to be. But as far as taking things to high intensity, there was definitely short spurts of time.
Right, and then you set the back off. Yeah. Yeah, and that pretty much happened. So you were healthy throughout. You didn't get injured or anything.
No, I didn't. Well, I mean, I have knee problems. I have arthritis in my knee. That's a result from ACL surgery 15 years ago. So my knees will give out on me here and there. And there was a time, I think it was the beginning of the second month in the contest, where I couldn't even do anything because my knee was acting up. So I was like, should I continue? You know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it my all type attitude. But I just kind of, like, gave it a break. And actually right now, just this past week, my knee's been giving me tons of problems again. But when something like that happens, I'm just, like, try to be a little bit more, can't work out as much. So, like, my diet gets my attention a little bit stricter.
Right. And you just do what you can, I guess, at that point.
Right, yeah, just do what I can.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes I had to make modifications to the exercises, you know, the step-ups and things like that, but, like, you just do what you can. That program is such a great program because you can modify it, I think, to any ability. So, I mean, I feel like I could do so well in that program, and honestly, I could give that program to a beginner that has never even worked out, and I think that they would have as much success as I had with it. So I really liked about it. It's just like heavier weights, and I mean, I really enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I'm glad you did. So, I mean, that's better than you saying that you hated it. That's for sure. So,
true.
Yeah, it's not. I don't design it to be not like. I mean, it's designed to actually. Hopefully, you would enjoy it. So,
yeah.
And the next round is quite different. So, hopefully, you like
that's
that.
That's what I'm really looking forward to see how it's set up, what it's like, because I'm sure everyone has their favorite days and like if it's going to be similar to things I like, things I didn't like. So
I would have. I would. It's different enough, but I'm hoping you'll like at least some part of it. So,
yeah.
I'll have to get your feedback when she started. So,
oh, sure.
Okay. So, well, this is the part where you just get to give your. Well, okay. So, what'd you learn, either about yourself or about the process, and then what advice would you give to someone else?
I would say first the advice that I would give to someone else, and if you're taking time to listen to something like this, then you're probably ready to take the next step and just to go for it. Just decide you're going to do it and do it. Because so many times I meet people that say they're going to do something and they just don't stick to it. So just no matter what, if you're going to commit to it, promise yourself that you're going to do it the whole way through. Because if not, then you just end up feeling disappointed. And like I had a chance so many times to say, this is too hard, traveling too much, family's in town, have jobs, I'm up all the time, and, you know, I have to go out to eat a lot. So many things where you can just give up, just like pushing through it. I was so proud that I finished it at the end of 12 weeks. And then I just learned that I can be mentally tough to get through things, and I really like that quality about myself. So, I mean, a lot of times we say stuff that we don't like, and I have just found that, you know, I'm proud and, you know, I can stay mentally strong and finish a program. Yep, and that's about it.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's important stuff. And like you said, we can always find an excuse. Like
right.
Anybody, over the next 12 weeks, everybody will have probably 12 excuses to quit. Every week something comes up, right? So there's never the perfect time to start this, which means any time's the perfect time to start.
Yeah, that is so true. And actually that you say that, it's so true. Like, you know, with my knee injury, I could have quit. I mean, there were so many times where I just could have quit. And so many people say to me, well, you know, I offer my friends all the time, can I help you? Well, I have this wedding come up, I'll start her after the wedding. Well, just what you said, there's always going to be something, no matter what.
There'll be an excuse right up till the day you die.
Yeah.
So that means today's just as good a day to start as any.
That's right, no excuses. Go Venus.
Okay, that's perfect. We're gonna leave it right there. Oh, man. Well, thanks for being on the call, Molly.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
Okay, so for Molly Piercy, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.